Well, I'm thankful to be able to be together again this evening. Appreciate the song that we just heard tonight. I'm thankful tonight that the Lord has a vested interest in us being strong Christians. The Lord wants us to be not Christians that just barely get by, that are just barely hanging on, although sometimes that's how we feel, and we face times in life that are unexpected, are difficult, bigger than we are, and that's the intent sometimes of the Lord, that we would feel our dependency on Him. But the Lord wants a people that are growing in Him. The Lord doesn't want us to become... He doesn't want us to be idled in our walk. He doesn't want us to become stagnant. But He wants us to be in the place, as the words of that song brought out, that no matter what comes, we have the confidence that the Lord is going to see us through. He's going to help us be stronger as a result of it. And that we can still have a song in our hearts. And I'm thankful for that tonight. I preached a message a couple weeks ago, maybe, something like that, on the subject of revival. And the importance of seeking revival as a spiritual tool. Maybe as a review tonight, and as sometimes we do on Sunday nights, I'd like this to be a cooperative effort in this lesson tonight. Help me out. What is revival? A recharging. All right. What else? Getting close to God. Meaning, if we are getting close to God, we're moving away from things that are further away from God, and we are drawing closer to who He is. What else comes to your mind? Revival.
Restores life.
Revival restores life. Is revival, is it just an emotional thing? Is that all it is? If somebody is dehydrated and they become rehydrated, and they have had life restored to them, I will guarantee you they will tell you it's more than something emotional. Having life restored is more than something that's emotional. Anyone else? What else? Revival.
A gathering?
So many times revivals happen when there's a gathering that takes place. All right? Anyone else have anything they would like to contribute to revival?
Realign our priorities.
I had that written down too. Realign our priorities. When you experience revival and your passion and your vision is reignited, often what happens with that is that you reprioritize. You look at the direction you're going and you realize, wait a minute, the vision that has just been reignited in me, that my highest aim ought to be doing God's will, means that I probably need to reprioritize over here. Revival. It's a good thing. All of us need revival. Revival sometimes, I'll say, reinforms our perspective. Maybe it's a perspective we've had or we once had, and slowly we begin to veer off in a direction, maybe not intentionally, but then we experience revival and our perspective is reinformed. And we realize the relative importance of things that are involved in our lives. we can so quickly place so much value on things in life that don't really have a lot of value. That in the end, in the final analysis, don't have a whole lot of value. But they can seem like it's everything. Until something really significant happens and you forget all about that. And all of your focus goes on this. And then one day you wake up and you think, I thought that what I was focused on was so important, maybe it wasn't. And then the next thought should be, I wonder if that's still happening. I wonder if there are still things in my life that I'm putting a whole lot of focus on that the Lord would like us to recognize doesn't hold the value that we're giving it. When we stand before God, what's going to matter? All that's going to matter is that we're accepted of Him. That's it. That's all that's going to matter. Material things in life will not matter at all. What other people think of us will not matter at all. How we are viewed by society will not matter at all. The things that we can give our time and our affection to, if they aren't things that have eternal value, those things won't matter anymore. Just one thing is going to matter. Well, the chapter that we read when we were talking about revival two or three Sundays ago was in the third chapter of Revelation. We read it. I'd like to read it again tonight. I'd like to spend just a little bit more time talking about some of the specifics maybe of what it means. We didn't have time the first time we went through it, and we'll probably split this up in a couple of lessons. But the subject tonight is lukewarm. And probably lukewarm part one. Let's read a couple of verses tonight in the third chapter of Revelation. And we'll start at the 13th verse. He said, "He that hath an ear to hear, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." And the 15th verse said, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were either cold or hot. But so then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." We started in the 13th verse, and he said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Who is he speaking to? So, my Bible has this in red letters. This was revelation that was given to John. John was passing on the words of the Lord, and then he said, this was the words of the Lord through John, and then he said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." So was he talking just to John? Was he talking just to the churches? What do you think? Who do you think he was talking to? All of us? Anybody that... Well, this says, if you have an ear, if you can hear If you run across this, and hopefully we will when we're digging deep, and you hear this, get a hold of it, what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So the Lord had a message to the churches. Wait. The Lord had a message to the unsaved? To those, to the heathen? To those that had never heard the word of the Lord? Is that what it says? No. It was a message to the churches. So, collectively, that includes, that can include us. And didn't it say in the beginning, yes, seven churches? What does seven represent? Complete. All. The Lord had a message to all the churches. And I believe He had a message as you go through this. Now, these were literal churches that actually existed. But I believe that the message of the Lord was that all churches would get a hold of the message that He had to these churches, that we would be able to internalize it by the under the unction of the Holy Spirit, that we could get a hold of it for us in our lives. This is not just to the church at Laodicea. This is to me and to you. Let's be careful that we don't read through this very quickly. Oh yeah, the church at Laodicea, we remember them. They were the ones that were lukewarm. They were the ones that were spewed out of his mouth. It was bad stuff. They thought they were rich, but they really didn't. They were miserable, wretched, poor, blind, and naked. Those were some bad folks. Yeah, that church at Laodicea. Let's be careful that when we read this, we accept the cautionary note that it should bring to everyone that has an ear to hear. Because that's who it was to. Yes, the church at Laodicea, but it was also to us. Okay, in the 15th verse, Jesus said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. Wait, did you notice that he didn't spend a whole lot of time after the first four words? He said, I know thy works, and then he went on. We briefly talked about this a couple weeks ago, but it strikes me and I want to reemphasize it. Jesus didn't say, you know, church, I observed this in you, but could you help me understand what that means? Could you help describe to me where your heart is? Because I'm not really sure. And it looks like you're doing something over here that doesn't look exactly right, but maybe you have a reason to justify it. Could you help me understand? Is that what it said? No. All the Lord said was, he just started with a proclamation, with a statement, a fact that didn't need anything else to go with it. Didn't need any more words, didn't need any more explanation. All He said was, I know thy works. That's it. And I know that you're not cold and you're not hot. You're lukewarm. Do you know, as people, we like to have our say. Is there anybody here that doesn't like to have their say? We like to have our say from the time we learn how to talk, and before we ever learn how to talk and articulate words that make any sense, we do our best to have our say. Don't we? Sometimes with noises, sometimes with motions. And as we get older and we are better able to communicate with our tongue, we want to be able to have our say. And if anybody disagrees with us in the route that we're taking in life, and we find out that they or a group or the law outside or a boss at work, we find out that they're in disagreement with the way that we're going, most of the time we don't want, sometimes we do, But we don't like to just sit idly by and say nothing. If we don't say it out loud, we say it to ourselves. We justify our actions. We have reasons. We always have reasons. We have bucketfuls of reasons on why we do what we do. On why we live like we live. We have reasons and reasons and reasons. And most of the time, not always, because sometimes we do a better job at being intellectually honest with ourselves on why we're doing what we're doing, even if it's wrong. We say, you know what, I know it, it's not right, I'm doing it. But a lot of times, it's human nature to have justifications and reasons to explain away why what we're doing is not backed up by the law or the rules at work, what we know we should do, or spiritually speaking, before God, but we have good reasons for doing the wrong thing. Yeah, sometimes we have good reasons for doing the wrong thing. And then we like to use that as justification. Well, folks, when we get to the end of the way, we're not going to stand before somebody that is going to ask or need any of our reasons. He knows our works. And I want to say this evening, He knows your heart tonight. He knows your works. He knows my works. He knows when we say one thing and do something else. When we present ourselves as one way in public, but we do something else at home. He knows that. He knows if everyone else thinks one thing, but the truth is something else. He knows when we believe we're right, with good motives, maybe, but we're actually wrong. He knows that too. God knows all things. And so this wasn't up for discussion with God. And the reason I spend time on it is because that's who's going to be our judge. The Lord is who we're serving. He knows all things. We would be best served if, while we have time and opportunity in this life, let's be honest with ourselves. Let's be honest with God. Let's be intellectually honest and put aside all of the reasons, all the justifications, and do everything we can to get to truth. Because God already knows the truth. He already knows where we are. Probably enough said on that. So that's how He started. I know thy works. And then He said that thou art neither cold nor hot. But He said that they were lukewarm. What's lukewarm? What does that mean? It in literal terms, not spiritual terms yet. Just what does lukewarm mean? Room temperature? Kind of acclimated to your environment?
Not very hot.
Not very hot. Not very cold.
Just
bland. Tepid. I read somewhere moderately warm, moderately cold. The Lord had a reason why He used the analogy of cold and hot. And Laodicea, if you look at a map, Laodicea was here, and over here was a town called Colossae, and up here was a place called Hierapolis. And
This is where the Lord was speaking to these people at Laodicea. Well, this town right up north, Hierapolis, they were known for hot springs. They had hot springs in Hierapolis. And they were known for having healing virtue. And people went there because of the hot springs. Hot water that brought comfort and help and healing. And over here at Colossae, they were known, they had cold springs that came up from under the ground. But Laodicea was over here kind of in the middle. And they always had water problems. They piped water in from Hierapolis, piped water in from Colossae. But what this cold water from here, what do you think it was like when it got here? It was lukewarm. It wasn't cold. What about the hot water that they piped in from Hierapolis? Was it hot, healing virtue? No. It was lukewarm. And so, the Lord, as He always knows how to do, He speaks to us right where we live. And these people knew this. They knew this. These towns around them were like that. And so the Lord said, I wish that you were either cold or hot. But you're not either one of those. You're just lukewarm. And I wish that you were cold or hot. I wish that you were useful, not useless. It wasn't that He was saying, that God was not saying, I don't think, and I don't think the Scriptures bear this out. Jesus wasn't saying, I wish you were strongly against me and a really bad sinner. Or I wish that you were really hot and on fire for me. I don't think that's what He was trying to say here. I think what He was trying to say was, hey y'all, this town over here, they're known for this. And they got hot water over here and cold water over here, and you all are lukewarm. And I wish that you were cold or hot. I wish that you had something more than a lukewarm experience. And they could relate to that analogy. So, spiritually speaking tonight, what do you think the definition would be of lukewarm Christians? Well, here in a second, we'll get to maybe how it manifests itself in our lives. But spiritually speaking, what do you think lukewarm is? One, maybe be half-hearted. What else? Acclimated.
Lazy.
Pardon?
Lazy.
What else?
Complacent.
Easy influenced.
You said easily influenced? Indifferent.
Dispassionate.
Oh, there's a good one. Comfortable. Comfortable. Anything else? Lacking conviction. I'm going to abbreviate.
Too
think the Lord would like us to be this in our Christian lives? Apathetic, maybe? Absence of enthusiasm? We're Christians. We go to the Church of God. We go to the Oak Grove Church of God. But we're, our experience is kind of half-hearted. We've kind of gotten acclimated. You know, just get in a routine. We acclimate it to just whatever the environment is around us. We're maybe a little lazy. We're comfortable. We're complacent. And sometimes we're maybe a little more easily influenced than what we ought to be. And we're too indifferent to things that come our way that may get us off track. We're not passionate. We talked about revival, reviving our passion, reviving our vision for what's right. But if we become lukewarm and this begins to define us, then what are some of the behaviors then that may result from that? So, what kind of interest would we have in the Word? It would be less than. We start to have an absence of interest in the Word. What else? Our prayer life begins to become stale, routine, not alive. What else?
No real power.
Pardon?
No real power.
Oh, loss of power. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof.
Become selfish.
Selfish becomes more about me. Deceived. What about fellowshipping other saints?
It comes easy to miss service.
So, desire for fellowship starts to not be very strong. Anything else?
Sure.
Pardon?
Sure.
Began to just drift. Drift. And when we begin to drift along, and what happens is we start having a loss of passion to obey the Word of God.
Happy-go-lucky.
Yeah. In other words, we begin to live without a right sense of urgency with what's really happening around us. It's like it's going right over the top of our heads. This is what can happen, folks. If we allow ourselves to become lukewarm, if we allow ourselves to become comfortable, and maybe next time we'll talk a little bit about how we can get there. But the Lord is looking for a people that have their whole heart into it, that are willing to push against the environment, that have energy to move forward in the things of God. Alive. Ready to move. Not easily influenced with the things of this world. Indifferent doesn't define us at all. Dispassionate, no. We have a passion because we have a vision.
And if we will give ourselves to this, and it doesn't happen all by itself, then we won't find ourselves in the place where the Word of God, I mean, well, I read it, I didn't really get anything out of it, and it's just kind of a chore. And sometimes we do feel that way. That's the reality. I've been there. You read and it just, it feels kind of dead, and the enemy says, well, there's nothing there for you. Maybe you don't need to, maybe it's not so important that you read. Get it from somewhere else besides the Word. Listen, when you feel a lack of interest in reading the Word, read the Word more. Nurture an appetite for it, because it's good for you. There's things we don't like to eat. Eat more of it. Maybe you'll start to nurture an appetite for it. When your prayer life starts becoming stale and routine, you find that you don't have the power and the grace in your life, and you start seeing things crop up that you know don't look right and they're not right. You go, why is this happening? When it starts to becoming more about you than other people, you're not that interested in fellowshipping other saints. You don't get a whole lot out of it. You'd rather do, you know, other things. Your passion starts to go down. Obeying the Word of the Lord. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of subjective. If you start finding these things going on in your life, it's time to get down before the Lord, serious. Because it's a sign that we're becoming lukewarm. God wants us to be strong Christians. The Lord desires that we be alive. He desires that we have power. He wants us to have passion. Not just an emotional high. We're gonna have emotional lows. All of us are. We're not going to be on the mountaintop all the time with feelings. But there should be a purpose deep down in our hearts that even in the midst of a low feelings, being at low ebb, in our hearts we are, I am not going to be moved. I know this is right. I am going to keep pushing forward. I might be bleeding a little bit, might have a side ache, might not be feeling really good, but I am not going to lose my passion. I'm not going to become complacent. I am going to push against the spirit of indifference that I feel coming against me in life. I am not going to allow the definition of lukewarm to define who I am. I'd like to end. Somebody get Isaiah 29 and 13 and we'll end there. If you get it, go ahead and read it. Isaiah 29 and 13. So we still have a profession. We're still coming to church. We still profess love to God with our mouths. We honor Him with our lips, but our hearts. These are heart issues right here. These are heart issues. Our heart has drifted. That was up here somewhere. Our heart has begun to drift away, and then what can happen sometimes is that our worship becomes based upon human rules that have just been taught to us. That's what this says. That their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. It becomes more about things that are of man than heart issues with God. And then it goes from there. And so the Lord said that because of that, because they weren't cold and because they weren't hot, He would spew them out of His mouth. I'm sobered by it. I want to be encouraged and challenged by it. I don't want to be asleep in Zion. I think it was Amos 6:1 said,
Woe unto them that are asleep in Zion. A church, the churches, we're in Zion. We are part of God's people. We gather together with God's people, but we're getting drowsy and we're starting to fall asleep and we don't have a lot of energy, and we rely on everybody else to bring spiritual energy and spiritual food. We're there. God wants us to be awake. He wants our spirits to be awake. He wants us to be alive. He wants us to be strong Christians. If strong congregations don't come about because there's one or two strong spiritual people, strong congregations come about when there are strong individuals in the congregation. God wants us to be strong. He has blessings for us. He has anointing that He wants to give us in our lives. So tonight, let's be encouraged. Let's be challenged. Not that the enemy would like to discourage us. If you feel some of these things right here, it's not a time to be discouraged. It's to be encouraged that, I've got the enemy nailed. I'm beginning to become lukewarm, and the Lord has given me warning in His faithfulness that I can turn the corner on this and apply myself differently so that I can become something that the Lord can use and others can benefit by. Pray for me. I want to live for the Lord. I want to be true. I want to have passion, not just emotion. I want to have passion that comes from being connected to the vine. Amen.